right, we are back right here on the Classic Metal Show. That, of course, was Dokken, acoustic version of Alone Again. We'll send that one out to Neely, who may or may not be sitting around listening tonight. And if he is, you know, give him a little
Dokken. We love you, Neely, and our thoughts are with you, man.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, what a... I don't want to get into that again, but my God.
Yeah.
What an awful way to start off last week and just ruin his whole time, man, you know, his whole week and probably much more as you go through grieving like that. It just sucks. But, but we are here not grieving tonight. I think we've had a pretty fun show so far, dude.
I had fun, man, under the circumstances, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And dude, I know I said it to you behind the scenes. I'll say it to you publicly, man. I cannot thank you enough for giving me 6 hours of time to do this, man. It's a long haul. So
I've never done anything like that, but it was what with you, it was easy. Shit.
Yeah. It's easy to do. I told you that the other day. I said, if you're going smooth, you look up and the time's done. You know,
yeah.
And it's like,
it was not a struggle to get through it all. It was just like hanging out with your buddy. It was
absolutely. Well, let's hang out a little more. We got one more hour to go. I'm sure we will kill that with this segment. I've got a bunch of different things here that I wanted to go through that are musician based.
Sure.
And more because you have the experience, not only being in a band, a traveling working band, but you've also, because of your association with Steven, you've kind of watched the rat thing happen a lot closer than a lot of us have. And I'm not going to ask you about rat stuff, but I mean, you've seen the inner workings where you can probably talk about it a little bit more than us dummies as fans. So,
or clear some things up, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But so I saw this story this week and it really brings into question to me, when is a band not a band anymore? Mm-hmm. And the story is this band Revolution Saints. Are you hip to them at all?
Yeah.
With Jack Blades, Doug Aldridge, and Dean Castronovo.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. They make musicians.
Yeah, three great guys. Except that two of them left.
Ugh.
So it's now Dean. Dean stayed.
Okay.
But it's now Dean, Joel Hoekstra, and Jeff Pilson.
Okay. So they're keeping the bar real high.
Yeah. I mean, it's still three great musicians.
Yep.
But is it Revolution Saints? When you lose.
Revolution stinks. No, I don't know. I've never even heard them. You know, I need to check them out.
Let's pull some up. We can pull some up. We can play a little Revolution Saints. Hold on. All I know is that Dean Castronovo is the greatest singer that does not sing ever.
He is fucking amazing. Like singing Journey shit.
He's
I was like, wait, what? He's so much better than the Arnold guy that they have.
Yeah,
I'm like, ugh.
I would agree.
Been okay with him singing, even if they got a different drummer and had him up front.
Dude,
I would have been okay with that.
They did this when Neil Sean was fighting with Jonathan Cain a couple of years ago. They did a project together called Journey Through Time, and it was just playing the old Journey stuff. It was playing nothing new and everything up to like Escape. I think that's as far as they went up, and they played all the real old stuff. Where Were You, and you know, Little Girl, and you know, like the really old stuff from the from Captured Back mostly. Okay. And Dean was the singer. And Dean was so much better than Arnell. I agree with you. They don't need Arnell because Dean is this amazing singer all by himself. So you know, it's and what's funny, I don't know if you ever met Dean. Have you met him before?
No, I have not. I've never met any of the Journey dudes.
When you meet Dean, you'd never believe he's the guy with that voice because he's like, "Hey man, how you doing, brother? You know, what's going on?" Like,
wow. Yeah, like you wouldn't have any range at all.
Yeah. Really raspy. Sounds like he drinks 14 shots of bourbon an hour. And yet then he breaks it out. He's like, "Wheel in the sky." You know,
yeah, I mean, nutty. I think I heard him sing Open Arms or something, or He does sing something.
He does faithfully.
Yeah, yeah. And kills it.
And just does it better than Arnell. And that's such a hard song. It's like,
yeah,
if this guy's doing that song, why isn't he doing all the songs? Because that part at the end.
I came up with this, man. It has to be because even though he sounds phenomenal, maybe it dips they don't know what's going to go on with him. He's kind of a wild card, and maybe his voice doesn't hang in there every night. Well,
it seemed to on these Journey Through Time gigs. If you watch them on YouTube, it's amazing. He
got through the whole show, and they did the tour and all
amazing.
That.
And he's doing this. Yeah. He's doing it while drumming, and it's fucking spot on, perfect.
Well, shit, I don't get it, man.
I don't get it. The only thing I could think of is that he had the meth problem, and they're not going to fire Arnell and put all their faith in a guy that fucking had a meth problem.
What he needs to do is get Arnell on crack so the meth doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, that'd work. All right, here's the Revolution Saints, so that you have a taste. Here we go. Of course, I picked a ballad. All right. Stop. We're not going with the ballad.
Okay, man.
Yeah, woo!
I'm ready. I got my lighter going for the folks at home that can't see. Right.
This one looks like... All right. Here we go. All right. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, the double horns. It looks good, man.
I was lost, I couldn't find. Tried to see it all, but I was blind. There's a heaven, there's a hell. I was down so low, I couldn't tell. I knew there was a lot to see.
Are the vocals too loud?
Maybe a little.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, maybe a little. I mean, he's, you know, but this is a good song to kind of get the feel for these guys. It's Castronovo, but also Jack Blades from Night Ranger training vocals. And now you're going to replace him with Pilsen.
You remember that show, The Greatest American Hero?
Oh, yeah.
He looks like the guy that yells at the Superman guy on it. Right there, doesn't he?
He does.
With long hair.
Nice. Yeah. So what do you think? Is this still the Revolution Saints with...
Oh, with just Dean?
With Dean and two new guys.
Well, he's singing, yeah.
But this guy was a singer too, Jack Blades.
He sings on some of the songs also.
He's singing on this one.
Is it just a temporary leave of absence?
No, they're out.
They're like, we're done, dude.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the Eddie Trunk guy that goes, well, I broke this story, but Aldridge told me this 2 months ago in an interview that I did with him, that he left Revolution Saints and that Hoekstra was the guy. And he said that he left because he's doing Dead Daisies and he doesn't want to split his time. He wants to, you know, be dedicated to one band.
Right. Okay.
So he's definitely out. And I'm pretty sure Jack Blades, I mean, Night Ranger's so busy. Jack Blades doesn't have time for this. Yeah. You know, Night Ranger's always playing. I can't remember a time they weren't on tour in the last 10 years.
Well, they must do a lot of like out of the country stuff or something.
No, they played, dude. They're in the same circuit you are. Just
Revolution Saints? Okay.
No, not Revolution Saints. They never play because all these guys are working.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was just
Revolution Saints. They've played like two gigs or something, if that.
Yeah.
Many, because Jack Blades is in Night Ranger.
Right.
Dean is in Journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dean's in Journey, and what's his name? Doug Aldridge is in Dead Daisies.
So they need to get this third gig.
Yeah, well, but now they replace these guys with other guys that are too busy. Pilsen's in Foreigner. Foreigner never stops touring.
And Dean's not, I'm sorry, I'm out of the loop here. And so he's not playing with Journey right now?
No, he is. He's the drummer for Journey.
And he's not happy with that?
He's happy with that, but he's also doing this. Dean is one of these guys. Dean is one of these guys that's in fucking 14 bands. Dean is in Journey. He's in Revolution Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's in Hardline. And he is in a little side band with Johnny Gioeli from Hardline, just called Castronovo Gioeli.
See, I cannot relate. I'm just way too lazy to relate to any kind of the thought of that being in that. I couldn't do it, man. Maybe two gigs.
See, I think if you have three gigs, you don't have one gig.
One really good gig?
Yeah, well, Journey would be it.
Somewhere. I don't know. I enjoy my regular guy time.
Can it really be that Journey doesn't pay enough? That's a huge gig. How much do you think those guys make a night?
Journey with the man,
half a million?
Shit, well, on a private event, certainly.
I would think probably on the regular events too. I mean, they play fucking 18,000 seats everywhere they go.
Right.
I gotta think they're banking minimum 250,000. Don't you think?
Right. Yeah. They're in a different echelon than us. So I'm trying to think about that. I'm like, wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot of money. I mean, he ain't making $1,500 a gig. He's fucked.
Right. If they're making that kind of bank, you would think he's getting thousands or was on some really healthy salary if they're on tour or something.
Yeah, you gotta think he's probably on a salary for like 10 grand a week or something.
Right.
You know, you gotta think that.
Well, you know what? Who am I to judge? I don't know what his lifestyle is.
No.
Or what level he's living at.
Well, I know he's.
I'll
not
take the lower that. Level and not have to work too hard.
You know, Steven's the perfect one for you. Not too much.
Perfect.
Not enough.
Yeah. Well,
just enough.
I mean, when I was younger, I did it. I mean, even in this band, you know, where you're going out for like 6 months,
right,
at a time, and that's brutal, man. You go a little crazy living out of a suitcase for that long, you know what I mean? It feels good to come home and recharge for a bit. And this weekend stuff's even better, you know?
Go sure.
out with the boys, play some casinos, play some fairs, come back to my pets, my girl. Yeah, I have a great place out here on the beach.
Yeah, that doesn't sound awful.
No.
It really doesn't sound bad at all, actually.
It's awesome.
But... So to you, is it still Revolution Saints?
Yeah, to me, because I'm not that invested in it either. You know, I wouldn't even know.
How about just any old band? Let's say,
right,
like Warrant right now. Warrant is basically all the guys except the singer, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can take that. But if like Eric and Jerry left again,
mm-hmm.
and you had Robert Mason... And who's the drummer? Sweet? Something Sweet?
Okay. Yeah,
I think.
Sure, no. Oh, no, I'm Warrant. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, something Sweet. Steven Sweet, maybe?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Swisher. So I think it was Swisher.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not a Warrant aficionado, but I know this. If you lost Dixon and Eric Turner, if they left and were replaced by Eric Ferrantinos and some other guy,
mm-hmm.
is it still Warrant?
If that's what it says on the check, pay me.
I don't mean that. I mean for the fan. Does the fan?
I don't care about them.
Well,
no.
But I mean, you know as well as I do, Steven was out doing Rat and no one was buying it, including Steven.
Well, let me set the stage for my answer. Okay. This all kind of started for me, I was noticing with the Motown era.
Okay.
You know, like by the 1980s,
right,
you were seeing that it wasn't the original guys, nor did like, you know, with the, you know, of course we could get into the radio bands versus the video bands, because that does make a difference. It doesn't really make a difference anymore. And then in some ways, even with when a band's a video band, there gets to be a point where so much time goes by that the real guys are so old, you wouldn't fucking recognize them either.
Right.
you know, from their heyday anyway. And there's, so there's a point where you wouldn't even know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
How many years have gone by, you know, after 30 years, 40 years, I right. mean, you know, it's, I do think in most situations that the bands should keep going because everything's going to die.
Even after all the guys leave?
Yeah. In some cases, you know, because if the band's just going to die out forever and they had some cool hit songs, I mean, it kind of keeps them out there. You know what I mean? It keeps it alive at a certain level, but that's after a long time, you know, right. when it's in the first, you know, 20 years, you know, you want to see the classic lineup and stuff, but then there's a point where maybe you would rather see some younger guys in the band.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're all friends with Dokken, but I wouldn't mind seeing somebody else singing.
Right.
Personally. I mean, you know, again, I don't begrudge Don 1 ounce for taking those gigs and playing them and croaking his way through the songs. That's fine. Mm. You know, I mean, that's his living. I get it.
He looked good recently when I saw him, you know, also give him that.
Well, I'm sure he did until he got in front of the mic, and then it's a different story.
Well, what would he do? Play guitar? He's a great guitarist.
He can't play because of his hand. I mean, he'd be out of the band. I'm saying with Dokken, if they replaced Don with a singer that sounds like Don in 1987, and Don just collects a royalty,
yeah,
for owning the Dokken name. Is that okay, or is that not okay?
Yeah, that might be the one exception when the band's called the guy's fucking name. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
that might be the one time you're not allowed to do that.
So if so Slaughter couldn't do it,
right? Because it's Mark Slaughter.
But Jackal could,
right? Exactly.
You're that makes this. No sense. What are you talking?
You don't like my logic?
No.
Because what it's, you know, it'd be like Fleetwood Mac with no Mick Fleetwood or Christy McVie.
Yeah, that's what I agree, but that's, you know, it's still just a brand name at this point.
Van Halen with no actual Van Halens in it.
Well, again, this is your point, not mine.
Only on that one is a time that like, but these other band names where it's like, it's not the guy's name, but it's like a band name and they do it. I think it's okay. Especially if the families of the people, it helps them to get paid in some capacity. Does anybody ever consider that? You know, like,
yeah.
You know, maybe the widows or of some of these guys could use a little bread themselves, you know, maybe.
Sure.
It helps the families of the people that help create that music. Yeah. It's another thing to think about, consider.
Do you think we're just in a weird time now where I think it's the first time in rock history where we're at this point where the bands are not the sell as much anymore as the music is.
Mm-hmm.
The music is much more bad. I mean, in the 80s, in the 90s, the band was the sell. You wanted to see Dokken, Warrant,
right.
Korn, Disturbed. You know, you wanted to see those bands. Now you just want to kind of hear those songs. You don't care who plays them as long as they play them well.
Yeah, that you can hear the hits. They sound good. You recognize them. If it could be the original singer, great. If not, he better be fucking good at it.
Yeah, like, you know? The Foreigner gig. I've seen the Foreigner gig a couple of times, and it's fucking amazing.
Right.
And I saw Foreigner in the day with Mick or Lou Graham. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw him in 85 on the Agent Provocateur tour. And it wasn't nearly as good as what they do now with Kelly Hansen and Jeff Pilson. Right. Not even close. But is that really Foreigner?
Did you guys check out the new Great White Singer? Did you talk about that at all?
I saw just one video of the guy. He sounds okay. Great White has just become this, you know, it's a revolving door of silliness anymore, man. I hate that because Mark's a really nice guy. I like Mark. Mm. You know, I'm definitely not trying to shit on Mark at all. But, bro, when you've had six singers in 10 years or whatever, it might be time.
Right. Well, I would normally agree, and we did play – a couple gigs with them this year.
Right.
When they had a couple other singers
mm-hmm.
in there, and it was goofy. And I'm like, oh, why are you guys even bothering? But then you could tell that they got this like unicorn. I mean, I know you said you think he's okay. He's pretty young, the guy that they got.
Yeah, but, what's his name? Something Carlisle?
Yeah, but I mean, he looks like a young Robert Plant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to be good to sing those Great White songs.
Have you seen that guy or no?
I watched some videos. I haven't seen him personally, but I was like, oh shit, this might actually make them a little bit more of a contender. It's not that it would take much. I mean, Jack Russell, he still sounds great, but it's hard to watch sometimes, you know?
Yeah. He's definitely difficult to watch.
Yeah.
But he does still, I saw him.
He sounds great.
I saw him before the pandemic and he sounded spot on to 1985, man, or 88. He sounds great.
Yep, he does still. And but this kid, the fact that they found this kid to sing like that's like, oh, you could tell. I saw some band photo today, and you could almost see in it that they're looking at him like, I think we got a chance here. Yeah. You know, look at this shit.
We can actually. Well, they got to be looking at it like, you know what? We might have just bought our way to get into retirement.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, how many more years can Great White possibly do this? 10?
Well, when you got a singer that's, you know, I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's
but I mean, how old is Mark Kendall going to be before he says enough of this shit? He's got to be 60-something. He's got to be older.
Man, he could play guitar for maybe another 10 years. I don't know. He looked... I saw him up close. I mean, he's trim. I mean, he's an older cat for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely older. So
I saw him one day and he was like kind of grumpy and I thought he was like staring at me all weird. like I played in Atlantic City.
Right.
And it was like this underground, whatever this place. And he was kind of right near where I was. And I was kind of near the stage, just kind of prepping my guitars. Right. I wanted him to acclimate because it was like hot as shit in there.
Okay.
And I could see him just kind of, he had sunglasses on, but it looked like he was just kind of sneering at me from like about 3 feet away and almost made me, I didn't even want to go say hi at that point. But then to his defense, a few days later or a few weeks later, we were playing. I saw him, he was super nice and came up. It was like, hey man, it was like, and it was totally cool. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes when people are wearing sunglasses, you don't even know if they're looking at you or not.
How are you treated, you personally? I mean, they all know Steven. All those guys all came up together. You know, everybody that you guys play with, they all came up together. How do they treat you? You've been in that band 20 years, but they still don't know you.
They're treating me way better. I guess I didn't realize it until I had the heart attack. And then I got all these phone calls from pretty known people. And I was like, holy shit, man. Mark Slaughter, Mark Torian, and, you know, Blando, and all these people were, calling up, making sure I was all right. I saw Mark Ferrari at the some gig, and he's has a huge music library thing. I mean, he's a big dog in the music library.
Okay.
I saw him, and he's like, oh my god! He came running up and gave me a big hug. I'm so worried about you. I was like, what? I mean, I didn't realize that they have accepted me after this time. I think when you do your time and they know you've stuck it out and they know what a hard life it is, you know, they're like, all right, man, you're still one of us. And, you know, so I feel like I did get in grandfathered in somewhere.
Well, and I mean, you've been with Steven a long time.
That's right.
You know, I mean,
and I was loyal and they probably respect that, you know,
I'm sure they do. And my thing is that they're probably used to seeing you. They see you with Steven, and they have for decades at this point.
Yeah, and you do get to – I do realize how you play the same circuit. You do run into these guys all the time, and you start to get to know them a little bit. And it's cool, man. And these are the last, you know, years of this – of the original guys playing this music. So we got to go out big.
Yeah.
Big and loud.
So what do you think happens with Steven? Does Steven put out a version of Rat with no original members eventually?
Oh, who knows? As we've seen, those guys are capable of doing anything. We can't say that anything wouldn't happen. But I could tell you right now, he's not getting along with Juan.
Okay.
And those two are the ones that technically at this moment own the name. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, but they're, you always hear things, but you don't know, man. Those guys are always have their drama.
Yeah. Dude, it's so funny to look at it and think, you know, the Don Dock and George Lynch was always the famous feud, you know, that those guys famously didn't get along. Seems to me like the rap members had way more dysfunction than Dokken ever did.
They forget how much they don't get along sometimes. Get back together. Oh yeah, that's why I fucking hate you. Right? You know, but from what I could tell, he's gonna go solo again. There was a few opportunities that come up, some big money, but they couldn't all pull it together. Some of the problems that they have.
Wow.
It's getting all of them together. Like one guy hates another guy and they won't do it. It's just too complex. And honestly, you know, I mean, people don't want to hear it, but I think he has potential to make more money solo, not even with the Rat name, just the fact of how business is run and Rat being a corporation that has to go through this whole bureaucracy before Steven gets paid a lot of the time. And they have so many people involved when they play this, like all these techs and stage people and all this and expenses from everybody in the band and that expenses are turned in my Uber ride to the airport and all this. And by the time everything's said and done, you know, there's times he might be walking away with less than a solo show, you know? Sure.
Well, I would imagine that's almost all when you think about, I mean, and again, I'm outside it. You're way closer to me and you can dodge this one all you want because I'm going to start talking about money. But I just don't think that Rat is going to pull twice what a Steven Piercy would. Is that fair? Or will they?
Well, with the Rat name, they can pull some. They are pulling in potentially more than that. But what I'm saying is after all the expenses and bullshit that comes up, gets paid, and the managers and the agents and this, it's like he's walking away with a smaller amount.
Right.
And the way we're doing things now, having Jason Green out there to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's our tour manager, but really making sure Steven's taken care of, making sure he's able to get to those meet and greets and things that when we were working on a lower level and I was maybe doing the tour managing, I couldn't take care of all that too. Right. And the merch and the, you know, it's like, and we would try to get by. Piercy Band always tried to get by with this little, you know, a lot of times it was just the band would show up.
Right.
You know, with nothing else. And we still don't really bring, you know, front of house or monitors or anything like that. We're just old school rock band. Let's go for it. But anyways, the good news, Jason's now helping him, you know, get the biggest bang for the time out there, you know, with the meet and greet money. And so he's getting that up, but it's not having to go through. That's like cash in hand for him, you know, going back. And he's not having to, you know, split it evenly with the rest of the band. You know what I mean? He takes very good care of us, but he doesn't have to split an equal share.
Sure.
You know, so the potential is way better. Like if he has his merch together and all that, and he's going to these meet and greets have been doing really well for him. And that's great. Cause then he can take care of us better and buy tickets sooner for the flights, things that end up, you know, eating into our costs.
Right.
But from what I could see there, he intends, you know, I could see the dates starting to load up in January. And, you know, I know our agent, Big Time Entertainment, who has a Quiet Riot and these other bands, we're definitely looking to put some kind of package tour together for 2023. They are working on that. And you probably will see those bands because we're all on this, you know, working with Sullivan.
So it'll be who? You guys, Quiet Riot, who else?
Possibly Autograph, Bullet Boys, I'm hearing. Yeah, we'll see.
See, Autograph's another band, no original members.
Right, that's, what a bummer, man. Randy Rand.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, bud.
Yeah, he was a good dude. I knew him a little bit. I'll tell you what, though, the guitar player they have, that Jimmy Bell, Jimmy is fucking astounding.
As he is, and I'm happy to call him a friend.
Yeah, I was, dude, I did an interview with him. It's actually not even out yet. It comes out in a couple of weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
him and I just shot the shit like we've known each other our whole lives.
Yeah.
It was the coolest interview, and he was just, he could not have been nicer. And it was such a weird thing because, like, it's so stupid. So you know how these interviews go, dude. They're usually a half hour. You know, right. it's usually a 30-minute hit, and they want you off at 25 so that they can go and take a piss and get a drink of water or something, and then do the next interview.
Go back to fighting with their girlfriend.
No, you go back to doing the next interview and the next one and the next. You know, they line 10 of them up in a row. So I said to the publicist, I said, I'd really like to get like an extra 15 minutes with Jimmy, because I didn't get to talk to anybody, mainly James Christian, for House of Lords. And they just put out a record as well. That's mm-hmm. really, really good. If you like House of Lords, it's a really good record. So in my world, I was like, well, let me do like 20 minutes of Autograph and then 20 minutes of House of Lords. And they were like, yeah, sure. You know, Jimmy said, take an hour, take whatever you want. I was like, okay. So we did this interview. Me and this dude just shot the shit. It was the coolest, funnest. And I've met Jimmy once, you know, in person with his other band that he does with the Dokken guys, with the,
was it the Deep Purple thing or
no? Yeah. Oh. What is that thing called? I forget what it's called. It's with BJ and with Chris McCarville, like Boom something or something. I don't remember what it's called, but they played at the Melodic Rock Fest when me and Neely went out and broadcast from there. So I met him there. It's the only time I really met him. Coolest fucking guy, man.
He was great. He's been super cool every time I met him. And he's another guy that, like, the last time I ran into him, it was a Quiet Riot Autograph Piercy gig. And he saw me backstage and literally came right up. He's like, oh my God, I was so worried about you. I'm so glad you're okay. I was like, oh shit, man. I mean, that does feel good that these guys actually are nice enough to me and care.
Sure.
How I'm sure. doing and these things.
And he's a lefty player, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Lefty, right?
Lefty,
no.
Right?
No, he is a lefty, and yeah, he goes back, man. I mean, did you talk about the Joan Jett movie?
Little bit, yeah. Just all I did was I asked him what he thinks when he sees 18-year-old Jimmy Bell in that movie, and he told me a cool story about that, which people can
check out. He was there for all that. He's been around this whole time. I didn't really realize it, they put it together, and then kind of this year kind of realized who he was. And I, you know, we're friends on social media, and he I love watching his videos, and he rips, and it's cool. I love to be, you know, in the same, you know, circuit as these guys, you know, so it's really flattering and awesome.
Sure. Well, and one of the things, and this is probably a stereotype I've convinced myself of and might not even be true, but most of the left-handed players that I've seen are not very good. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just not normally.
Yeah. Like Jimi Hendrix. He's awful.
Okay. That's one. All right. Any of them that are not named Jimmy are awful. How's that? How about that? All the left-handed Jimmys are great, but everybody else, not as good.
That's is that right. better. If your name's Jimmy, you're fine. Everybody else. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Don't quit your day job.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a bunch of them out there, but, you know, I've always felt like that was more of a gimmick than it's like, you know, I'm left-handed, and when I play guitar right-handed, you know, because that's the way the guitar was planted in my hand.
Yeah, he can, and, you know, I saw him play right-handed. He wanted to come over, and he came in our little backstage area. Jimmy did want to see what guitar I was playing and what my pedal board setup was or whatever, and he was actually started playing my guitar.
Okay,
like, wait, how are you even doing that, man? He's like, well, he's like, I years ago I worked in a guitar center or something. I had to, you know, sell guitars. I had to be able to grab a guitar or be able to play something on it for the kid or whoever.
Sure. Right. You know,
so he had it, and most of the guitars were right-handed. So that was his Jimmy story there.
I wish. Meanwhile, I'm a fucking shitbag drummer. How hard is it to play drums?
Well, I can't do it. I can play finger drums on my keyboard.
I can play, but I'm not good. You know, I can play. I can tap around a little bit.
Do you have a kit currently?
Not anymore. No, I mean, it's been years, but.
Which maybe you would, maybe you would consider.
No, not? when I was playing, when I was young and I was in my band, Distorted Illusion, that was my band. And we fucking sucked. And I especially sucked. And we practiced for a year.
Right.
We practiced for a year and I never got any better. Well, I couldn't play Ugly Kid Joe songs.
I mean, can you just like set up some cool sound system in your house and just set up a kit and just fucking play along with it just to blow off some steam?
See, nah, I'll do this. I'll podcast. That's my music thing is podcasting and editing video and doing this shit.
And you're great at it.
This is my passion thing now is this kind of shit. But
and it takes a lot of time to do this. People it don't does. Realize how hard you work on it.
It does take a lot of time. That is for sure. Especially all these fucking interviews.
Right? I mean, man, you must have done 1,000, 2,000 interviews. I don't know.
Oh, in my life?
Yeah.
Probably closer to 10.
Wow.
Dude, I've done.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah. Damn. Yeah. Dude, I've done just since the pandemic started, I've done almost 600.
Holy shit.
I've done two a week, every week, pretty much since the pandemic started. And then some weeks, three, four, five. The heaviest week I've had, I did 8.
Wow.
That's a lot of learning about bands.
Yeah, you have to do research to, you know.
Yeah. If you want to do good interviews, I mean, I guess I could be like, hey, you're in a band. What's that like?
I've done some goofy ones, man. I mean,
have you?
There's a podcaster that said something once that I resonated with me. You know, he was like, hey, I'm trying to get my message out there. I'll do all anybody you ask to interview me. I'll do it.
Okay.
And it'll achieve the goal of getting my message out, you know? And that's pretty cool, man. You know, maybe I'll take on that, you know, a lot of times it is a waste of time.
When I've put out my books, when I release my books, I have a publicist and that helps me with the books. And a lot of times they get me on these morning show, what they call morning show tours, which is you do a 7-minute interview every 10 minutes. So literally it's for like two hours. And it's during like the 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour, you know, East Coast and Central time.
Right.
And then the next day would be Central and West Coast, you know, and it's 2 hours, but they call them a morning show tour. And I get more annoyed at these fucking interviews because nobody's read the book. Most of them haven't even seen the book. They don't know shit about me. They don't know shit about the book. They don't know, you know, and the funny thing is I have this collect. One of these days I got to bring it to the CMS and do it because I kept all my interviews. And whenever they ask me the same questions, I give them a different answer. Like some of them have like, there's some stock questions. They'll be like, well, as an author, what do you read?
Right.
And the truth is I don't read anything. I'm not a reader, you know, which is weird as an author. And I get that, but I don't have time in a 7-minute interview to get into that.
Sure.
So one guy I'll say, yeah, you know, I only read tech manuals, or I'll say something stupid like that. Then the next thing I'll be like, oh, you know, I'm really big into Harlequin love novels, and I'll just make up shit. And I just, and I have this whole collection of people asking me these same stupid questions and me answering with different answers on every single question.
Right.
Just because it's like, fuck you. If you're not going to do your homework, then why am I going to try and make you just make sure you say the website. I don't even care if you have me on.
You right.
Know, just say here's a book, buy it. www.chrisaikenbooks.com. Thank you. Don't even have to have me on. I'd be fine.
Spell your name right, at least.
Yeah, exactly. But, dude, I mean, I hear some of the interviews that you guys do. You know, me and Neely have made a 20-year career out of just busting people's balls on these things. So you're in a band. What's that like?
Yeah.
You're in a band with Steven Piercy. Were you a Rat fan?
I get people all the time. You probably do too. Just ask kind of goofy questions all the time. Because they have access to you on social media and so forth. Hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, man, what are you doing? Yeah. Reading your fucking stupid message, man. That's what I'm doing.
I get the funny thing is, and this is one that I get that you probably don't get, but because all I do is talk, I get people that are listening to some segment on the internet from 14 years ago or whatever. And I'll just get the punchline to some joke. And I mean, literally, I'll get an instant message and it'll be like, because she sat on the oven door. And I'm like, what does that even mean? No reference
whatsoever.
None. And I'll be like, what does that even mean? And then they'll be like, well, in this segment on YouTube at 22:38, you said, and I don't remember. I don't remember what me and you talked about last segment. Honestly,
I don't think I do either.
When I'm doing the write ups and shit for the episodes, I got to go back and watch the videos because I don't remember. You know, and you're gonna bring me up something from 15 years ago,
right?
Some joke. I don't remember.
My girlfriend does that to me with shit. like yells at me about something that like was from way long time ago. I don't even remember. Or, who are you talking to? I go, when? You know who I mean.
What? 1997.
You know.
It was a Thursday.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, when I was going through my divorce, this is no bullshit. My ex-wife brought up something that she didn't like when we were dating.
Yeah.
We were married 23 years. We dated a year before that. She literally said to me, well, when we were dating, I know that you made out with so-and-so. What? I was like, okay, well, you had plenty of opportunity not to marry me if that was a case.
Exactly. Thank you.
Once you married me, that's off the table.
That's right. We've concluded that chapter. We're on to a new chapter. You can't pull up the old chapter.
Right. And as far as I'm concerned, if you didn't break up with me today, that means that fight is over. Right?
Right. Yeah.
You can't argue about that in a month.
Exactly.
You didn't break up with me today, so that fight is over.
Thank you.
That's the way I always look at it is, you can't bring up I would never bring up the past. Like, I just never would be like, my ex a lot of times, like my ex changed. Like she changed. Like when we first started dating, like we would go and see like movies and stuff. And we would go see the Arnold movies or the horror movies or whatever. And then she changed. And then.
Oh, whatever. Shit.
Are you in trouble?
Maybe.
about talking about this.
I don't know.
You didn't even say nothing.
I don't think I did. Right.
I don't think so. I think it was me. But, okay. Oh boy.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, you want to change topics?
Maybe.
Well, let's change topics then. That's fine. We can switch up.
All right.
Here's another one that it's a hot topic right now with bands. You know that Wasp is out on tour, right?
Yes.
And with Wasp being out on tour, people are seeing what they're doing now, which is they're using tracks, but they're also performing live. So Blackie is singing, but he's singing over a track of himself singing.
Oh, yes. I knew this because we toured with them.
Oh, did you?
We did all in 2005. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
2005. I saw that show with you guys in Metal Church, maybe?
It was. And LA Guns.
Yeah, yeah. I went to that show at Peabody's.
Yeah, we did do that on that tour. It was a lot of House of Blueses and stuff, but it was awesome, But at the same time, they were working with those tracks, and he was pretty animated about not letting people know about that, clearing the room for sound check. Like, no one was allowed to be at sound check,
right?
If you were not in the band,
right?
even the chefs or cooks, anybody there had to leave.
Oh, geez.
They would do that. So we kind of knew they were doing some of that, but it wasn't, you know, he does it well and he is singing, I think, a good amount of it. You know, some modern bands are more egregious.
Yeah. But I mean, this is, I'm for it personally. If it makes the show better, I really don't give a shit. You know, to me personally, all I want is for the crazy amount of money that it costs to go see a show these days, I want a good show. I don't really, I'm not hung up on the, well, it's not all them and it's not all natural. I'm not hung up on it. I want a good show. And if I don't get a good show, then I'm really fucking pissed.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, think about it, dude. Like the Wasp show here, I wanted to get seats, like actual sit down seat. I don't do general admission shit. I do seats. And with the seats, it's fucking $318 a ticket. $318.
Wow.
You know, if I spend $318 to see a show, it better be fucking good.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would never pay that much.
No,
that would be to watch like the Rolling Stones last concert ever or something.
Yeah. Or Zeppelin or something. Yeah, you know, it'd have to be something amazing. Not fucking Wasp. No offense to them. I love Wasp, but
that's what they're charging for this.
Well, again, it was the tickets got bought by the secondary market and now they're all on the secondary market.
Okay.
It's that whole horse shit of Ticketmaster sells their tickets to StubHub and then you got to buy them off of StubHub or whatever.
Okay.
So it's just a big fucking waste. But if the show stinks, then I'd really be. Can you imagine if you spent $300 for a ticket, then another 50 to park, then another, you know, 50 to 100 for drinks and food or something.
Right.
You're talking about $1,000 with two people.
What would make it a stinky show? Like, you know, technical problems or just
bad vocal?
He's having a struggling on the vocals kind of deal.
To me, that's bad.
Yeah.
Dude, I've seen a bunch of shows. You know, I always point to the Rock USA when we went, and David Lee Roth was horrible. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And although David Lee Roth honks are like, oh no, that's just Dave. He's improvising. He's blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, improvising my ass. He's fucking horrible. You know, he was bad. And we walked, me and my friend Scotty, we left. We waited about 8 songs in and we were like, we saw Eddie do his solo and we were like, all right, we're out. And we left. Wow. You know, so it just was, you know, time to go, I guess. But
I mean, times are changing, I guess. I mean, depending on, you know, what type of music you're doing, if like there's just a lot of this music is computer generated stuff, you don't have a choice but to like do it. And then there's the modern guitarists that also, you know, are using, you know, laptops to like change the effects. They're like playing the guitar,
right?
You know, but this thing's actually changing their tones and stuff to do all this technical stuff, and it's complex, but it all is routed through these computers, and they need all that stuff,
right?
I don't mess with that. I mean, we're old school, as you know. We just
go.
I've been in situations. I don't know if the listeners know, but I played a brief stint in the band Earshot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the early 2000s, and. Right. They were a band that also blew in, you know, the choruses and stuff. And they wanted me to just go up and like lip sync. And I flat out was like, fuck that. I'm like, right. I don't care what you do, but I'm singing those parts because I can.
Sure.
You can blend it and I'll sing along with it, but I am not going to go up there in no way.
Right.
And at the time, because I don't know. I mean, me today, maybe I would lip sync. 20 years ago, I was like, I ain't doing it.
How big is the check? Yep, I'm in.
Oh, it was not big. It was awful. I mean, that was the worst paying thing I ever did.
Earshot was?
Yeah. Definitely.
That band had like some success.
They were I was a fan of the band, and through a mutual friend, they were looking for a guitarist for this tour
right
that was coming up. And Marzi was the other guitar player who's played with Phil Anselmo.
Yeah, yeah.
The Regals and stuff.
Yeah, I know Marzi.
And I had to go up to L.A. and we had like rehearse for like a month.
Right.
You know, which I'm not even, Piercy Beyond never rehearses. But anyways, I was driving up there for the month with these guys. And we sounded great and went out and played. And it wasn't until about, 2 weeks in that we hadn't got any money. And I'm just like, where's my fucking money, man? And well, usually we don't pay the band till the tour is over. And then if everything goes smooth, we'll get.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and that's where I was like, oh, man, you know, when you realize I'm going to lose everything back.
Right.
My apartment, everything.
No.
I'm fucked. I made a terrible mistake coming out here, you know.
Right. And
then at that point, you know, the attitude changes, you know, on my behalf. And I'll still, like, carry forth because it's about the music to some extent. I was in it to finish that tour, but I started to get at odds with, like, the drummer. Something had come up. He was like kind of putting a damper on our Marzi and me's fun time. I'll just
right. leave it at that.
And I had to give him a talking to. And then that was like the final straw. Then the Will singer guy just like dropped me off at an airport. And
oh, Jesus. Thanks.
Yeah. Like sent me home. Like, you know, but I was, wow. He knew that I wasn't going to put up with this shit. He knew that right. I was that the money, you know, whatever. It was just, it was my first reality check that just because you're joining a band that might be known at the time or have a name or a song on the radio does not translate to getting a sure. fair salary. I mean, these guys were trying to pay me $300 a week.
Oof. Dude, that's brutal.
After going and rehearsing for a fucking month and you know, killing it on all their songs, you know, doing great. And I was like so insulted, you know what I mean?
What were they making? Do you know? Like, were they making like 5 G's or?
No. I mean, that was the other thing is so the surprise that some of these bands are getting such a low amount sometimes. They weren't getting much, but their expenses weren't much either, you know? And there was 5 dudes in the band, but then he was deciding to make dumb moves, like take a sound guy, bring a monitor guy, bring a, you know, a tour manager, these things at his level, they didn't need to be doing that. And I was vocal about that. I don't think he liked that either. Me, I played with Piercy and I kind of knew, I'm like, if Piercy can go out without a crew, you could go out without a crew.
Yeah, true. Dude, do you ever get intimidated by other players? Like Marzi's an amazing, like highest echelon player.
No, but what he does, I mean, at playing metal, mm-hmm. Fuck yeah, dude. That guy could rip some metal.
Yeah,
some
like he's amazing.
Style shit.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, you know, what? No, I wouldn't say I was intimidated by it. I don't know why. I'm not trying to sound like a dick.
No, well, I'm just asking. I'm just asking just in general.
I'm good too, man. I sound good too, and I hell know yeah. it. And so, you know, if I wouldn't take the whatever gig it is, I wouldn't take it unless I could do it well.
Right.
And with that said, I'm going to show up and play the songs good. So whoever's playing there, it's going to be good. I'm not going to be intimidated by it. I've had to go and play with Rat, you sure. know, with Warren Demartini and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Dude, it's funny. It's funny to me. You brought up Marzi. Do you know that me and him had a problem? Like,
No, I mean, we didn't maintain friendship. Or
no, anything. I get it. But dude, this was, and I hate it because I'm a fan. I am absolutely a fan of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an interview with him, 3-4 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I thought it went great. I mean, I really thought it went fantastic. And we touched briefly on Anselmo and he said something a little bit off and Blabbermouth picked up on that line. And then he went on his social media, just crushing me. And I was like, whoa, I didn't do anything, you know, but he did. He went on, I thought I did a good interview and this guy just fucked me over. I was like, dude, what are you talking about? I was like, you said it, you know, you're mad, but you said it. I didn't say it, you know?
Well, yeah, I'm sure he'll, he's
pretty. Yeah, he probably forgot it by now, yeah. But It just surprised me that
maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
I mean, who knows? For
you right now, no.
Yeah, it could be. Who knows? But all right, brother, I'm tired.
I think you got to
go deal with hell damage in a minute. Control. Whoop, whoop. Welcome to my life pre-divorce. That was always my routine: do the show, then deal with damage control. But
I'm pretty sure we agree that I didn't say anything.
I don't know that you said anything.
I think she thinks I was talking about her. Maybe,
but I'm sure you'll find out here in a minute. But
yeah, they were out partying. I think. They might be a little tipsy. Yeah,
yeah, might have like, a couple of attack. Might have heard me saying something, thought it was you, and
right. Who knows?
Whatever you play, you can play it back for him tomorrow or whatever, and and say, look, it wasn't me. Chris is the asshole. See, that's always the answer. Chris is the asshole. That is always, that works. Well, bro, I totally appreciate you taking 6 long hours to do this, dude. This is a ton of fun. And me and you are boys, so you know the door's always open, dude, whenever you want to do this. And me and you are doing this again, actually, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Tuesday, we are, for anybody that is interested, Eric and I both will be on the Smoke and Talk and Roll podcast with Todd Chason of Tough on Tuesday at 9. I think I'm on at 9 and you're on it, or me and you both are on it at 9:15.
Okay.
In the Eastern time zone.
All right.
So anybody that wants to check that out, just look up Smoke and Rock and Roll on Facebook or Twitch, or what are they on? Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube. So you know, that's where we will be showing our ugly faces and telling more stories. So there we go. So why don't we wrap it up with a little rat, since you are sort of in rat these days, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
you are the guitar player in rat, as far as I'm concerned. It never was Jordan Ziff. Again, me saying that, not Eric. But well, dude, this has been a lot of fun, man. Thanks so much for doing this, bro.
Thanks for having me, my friend.
All right, bro. And until next week, Neely will be back. And till then, it is me, Chris Aiken, and we will see you fucks later. Peace.
Peace out.
Thanks for checking out this episode of The Classic Metal Show. Get all of our episodes uncensored at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. Join us weekly from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Eastern at www.cmsradio.net. Participate in the live chat room at www.chatandkill.com. Once again, thank you for checking out The Classic Metal Show with Neely and Chris. Hail and kill. Fuck you, pal. And hand job!
MyHappyDesires.com. Visit us at MyHappyDesires.com and add some toys to your toy box. Let your imagination be the guide to your stress relief. MyHappyDesires.com has everything for the perfect play night. Alone or not, you choose. Fuel your desires without breaking the bank. MyHappyDesires.com.